family home evening.
Bad Mormons.
I am Mandy.
I'm Charlotte, and I'm a bad Mormon.
I am a really bad Mormon, too. I'm so glad I have someone to be bad Mormons with.
Yes.
Because, like, bad Mormon.
Boring. No. Boring. Also, I really like the amount of actual bad Mormons there are, but hide behind the fact that they try to think that they're not bad Mormons. But they're all bad at being Mormons.
What do you mean?
I was just thinking about our father.
Oh.
I don't drink. It's like, oh, don't you, Dad? Don't you?
We still just, so we're clear, Internet. The word's still out. The jury's still out. We've never actually gotten any solid proof that our dad has drank beer, but we think he has.
His yearbook had riddled all over it. Can't wait to drink beers with you, Rander, down by the lake.
If that's evidence, then... Actually, I might just spoil my own joke right now, but if that's evidence, Brett Kavanaugh should have definitely never been elected or appointed as a fucking, what is he, a Chief Justice of Supreme Court Judge?
Justice is fucked up.
God.
Should be fucked up.
Anyway, so if this is your first time tuning into our little shit show of a podcast, welcome.
We're two sisters who were raised Mormon but didn't do a very good job at it.
And now we get drunk.
And tell you all the stories about the stupid shit we've done. And bitch about politics. Cheers. Oh, drinking some whiskey tonight.
Yes, we are. What have you poured for us?
I poured you some of the Devil's Anus? Devil's anus?
Angel's anus.
Oh, right.
It's actually called Angel's Envy, and it's really, really good whiskey. But one time we were drinking it, the first time we tried it on the podcast, you were drunk, and you called it Angel's anus. And I've just always called it Angel's anus ever since. But it's actually, like, a really, really delightful whiskey. Angel's Envy. It's a green bottle. It tastes like butterscotch.
I decided to go for the Weller because I'm a fancy bitch.
Ooh, girl, get you some.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mandy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cheers. Fuck.
Yeah.
I'm also drinking a Liquid Death because you got to stay hydrated. And we did sell our souls to them, so we got to, you know, make sure that we're
doing our part.
Doing our part, yeah. To spread
that's
the good
fair.
Word.
I like it.
The bad word.
The thing I love most about Liquid Death is that it's just plain flat water in a can. But the can makes it colder, which makes it better. And that's why you should buy it. Liquid Death. Found at any of your local grocers.
7-Eleven even.
Nice. Or even if you go to the Omega Mart. That was the only real thing they actually had in that whole grocery store that was a real product.
Did they? Did they have Liquid Death?
Oh, you didn't? I said, look, Manny, they've got Liquid Death. I must not have seen it.
I didn't.
It was the only thing in there. I was like, wait, that's an actual item.
Amazing.
Yes.
I brought a couple cans with me. Well, I've started bringing them whenever we go to Disneyland, and they always take it out and look at it. And
like,
then,
oh, what is this beer that you're drinking?
But then they usually laugh, and they're like, oh, you got me.
Yeah.
I just let them figure it out on their own at this point.
Right? It's more the fun of watching it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Me too.
Well, apparently I've got something to repent for.
Oh, wait.
No?
Patrons.
Oh, hey, patrons.
What is up, our patrons, our people?
Thank you for being you.
The whole reason we still keep doing this is for you guys, so thank you very much.
You're awesome. I also want to give a shout out to our friend Joe, friend of the podcast. It is his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Happy birthday, Joe.
We're going to be hanging out with Joe, well, I want to say soon, but it's actually a couple months away. We're going to go, we've gotten the taste, the fever for the football games. We're going to go watch
sports ball games.
We're going to go watch the men throw the pigskin down the yard lines.
And yell at them from distances.
And drink heavily.
And eat hot dogs. And it'll be glorious.
We got our Seahawks outfits.
I got a hat. That means I really care.
We're ready.
Yes.
Anyway, happy birthday, Joe.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Okay, now you may repent.
Okay, now I've got to repent. So apparently last week we were talking about roller coasters and how maybe we might be too fat to go on them because we couldn't get the lap band down. Well, I meant to say the lap bar, and maybe we should both get lap band.
I didn't actually, like, think about it too much, and then when I was listening back to do the edit, I was like, oh, she's going to fucking hate that. I'm leaving it in there.
Well, that's fucking rude.
It's funny, though. You got to admit.
It's good. Also, you know, whoops.
The lap band. Hey, when you're getting to the point where you're getting too fat for a roller coaster, it's time to get a lap band.
You're welcome.
I was going to repent for something, too, but I feel like I already blew my load.
Go on, blow it again, Mandy.
But when we were talking, I mean, the whole name of the episode last week ended up being about booty bumps, about putting stuff in your butt.
Right.
Drugs in your butt or whatever. And I can't believe I'm repenting right now because I can't believe I failed to make some sort of joke or connection to Brett Kavanaugh butt-chugging alcohol in college. God. Do you remember that?
I forgot. So, yeah, thank you for the repentance because I'm like, I glazed over that because I'm like, that's not real.
Oh, it's real.
And it's real.
Yeah. Not only did
butt-chugging, butt-chugging, Jesus.
I found this article that phrased it so funny. I'm just going to read theirs, because whoever wrote it. It's called Mel Magazine. Welcome to the magical mystery ride down the tube and into the anus, a special three-part report on boofing. Parts 1 and 3 can be found here and here, and they link to it. If you take him at his word, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh was a very good prep school boy who never sexually assaulted anyone and never, ever drank to excess, despite multiple sources saying otherwise. But it's hard to take him seriously when he's likely stretching the truth about boofing. Then they go on to talk about how boofing was the old way of saying butt chugging, which is today's, well, it might not even be today. There's probably a new word for it now.
Well, the shelving, new slang. Right? Is that just drugs?
Shelving, I think, is just coke. But, oh, okay. Or drugs. Yeah. Actually, I don't know. I'm not 100% positive on that. But apparently in the 80s, boofing was also a term for anal sex. So no. I'm kind of doubting that was Brett Kavanaugh's thing. Shoving a vodka-filled tampon up his ass, I can totally see that, though. So, yes.
I think that would be too much, right?
I mean, you have to have a real high tolerance.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to die if you do that.
Yeah, when I was looking for a good article to paraphrase, there was just 10-to-1 articles about why you should not put alcohol in your butt. Right. Because it'll kill you.
I literally was just thinking, I was like, now, I refrain from putting anything up my butt, but what if I, like, just put my finger in the whiskey, put it on my butt? How drunk do you think I'd get?
Ladies and gentlemen, next week on Family Home Evening with Dad Mormons, Dr. Charlotte will conduct a scientific experiment in where she puts a whiskey-soaked finger into her own butthole.
What part of I'm not putting anything up my butt? I just want to know. I'm curious.
Listener, if you've ever put any alcohol up your butt,
I'd love to hear about it.
Send us that story, please. Send it to us. We want to hear it.
FHBadMormons@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Or you could just DM us, slide into my DMs, mm-hmm. my butt DMs. I got nothing. On
slide
Instagram.
Slide into my butt.
Slide into my butt on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn.
All of them.
All of them.
We're on all of them. So, yeah, I feel like I really needed to repent for that because that was an obvious gimme, and right. I just didn't even connect.
No, I didn't catch it either, so, you know, good on you for admitting your mistake, coming back and fixing it.
Moving forward. I pulled out I dusted out the old Mormon Trail cookbook.
Excellent.
We've got our friends at exmocandles.com. We've got the Mormon scented candle burning.
It's nice. I like it.
Now I'm kind of wondering if maybe this book shouldn't be changed, the Major Victory for Satan Trail cookbook.
I like it.
and maybe we need to rename Mormon Corner the Major Victory for Satan Corner.
Yes.
Maybe we can like go back and forth. I'm just gonna write it down as an option. When I look back and go, what does MVFS mean? Major Victory for Satan.
Major Victory. Because that's a candle that we're currently lighting, right?
Oh, yeah. The one that's, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's my favorite, even though I like all of them.
Right. All right, I think I can remember that.
So, anyway, I thought I would read just a little bit about the history of the Mormon Trail for you, in case you find this interesting. I'm going to skip over the parts about Brigham Young because we have enough child molesters to talk about.
Fair.
And the requirements for the journey. I think we might have said this before, but I'm going to say it again because I forgot. To be allowed to go on the Mormon Trail with the prophet, you had to meet these certain requirements. Before the Exodus began, a committee appointed by Brigham Young compiled the following list of required items for a family of five for the journey west from wherever the fuck to Salt Lake City. Where did they start out? Ohio?
They were in the burnt over district in New York, right?
Yeah, but then they moved to...
Las Vegas.
No, no. Then they moved to somewhere like Missouri.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they got ran out of town because
they're, well, they're charlatans.
Yeah, basically. Anyway, I digress. So, when you get kicked out of a town and you have to go on the run and find a new home in the middle of the fucking desert, this is what you have to bring. For a family of five, you must bring 2 or 3 good milk cows, 1 or 2 good beef cows, 3 sheep, if obtainable, 2 or 3 good yoke of oxen, ages 4 to 10. Oh, to carry your wagon. For food items, and this is where I think you're going to find this interesting, because it might ring some bells, you need 1,000 pounds of flour.
Wait, what?
What? Is this mom's basement? 1 bushel of beans, 5 pounds of dried peaches, a few pounds of dried beef or bacon, 5 pounds of soda, 1 pound of cinnamon, 1 pound of cinnamon.
Oh,
12 nutmegs, 25 pounds of salt, 25 pounds of grain, 10 pounds of dried apples, 20 pounds of dried pumpkin.
Remind me, what is this? This is just the supplies that we need to have to go on our journey?
Yeah, because you got kicked out of town for being a charlatan.
Got it.
So you
got
to go find your new home in the desert, which ends up being Salt Lake City. okay, 100 pounds of sugar, 1 pound of cayenne, 1/2 pound of cloves, and
100 pounds?
100 pounds of sugar, 1 pound of cayenne, 1/2 pound of cloves, 2 pounds of black pepper. Anybody who's listening in Utah right now can relate to what I'm saying, because you'll go into your parents' basement or your basement, and this is what you'll find. Exactly.
100 pounds is a fuck ton of sugar.
Right?
It's like a pallet, right?
Right. And then it talks about, you know, guns and a wagon and, yeah, and the rest of it's kind of boring, but I thought you might like that. And I'm going to throw you on a little loop here for the recipe this time, okay? We haven't done it, but some of our previous episodes, we had this great idea sent to us by a listener that we should read a recipe from the Mormon Trail cookbook and then pair a beverage with it. So I'm going to read you something that I actually think sounds really delicious.
Well, that's different.
But the ingredients, like anybody who's not familiar with Utah homestyle cooking will be like, what the fuck? Why would you ever put that in a dish together and call it good? So I'm going to read you the recipe for chicken and dumplings.
So far I'm in.
2 envelopes of Lipton's cream of chicken, cup of soup.
Sure.
Envelopes, right?
What would you say is an envelope?
Well, it's, you know, like the packet, the soup, the dry soup packets. Envelope of soup.
I thought it was an actual can of soup.
I do have 1 can of Swanson's chunk chicken meat.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, see, you and I think it's good. Normal people don't think that's good.
What, chicken a la king? Duh, it's delicious.
Yeah, but no, most people don't make it with a can of chicken.
Usually, I made it with a fresh chicken once, not the same taste.
I know, that's my point. That's why I'm reading you this recipe, okay? It also calls for 1/2 pound of mixed freeze-dried vegetables.
Gross.
Which is a little weird. Some water, and then 1 cup of Bisquick in a Ziploc bag. So you mix the soup, the chicken, the packet of soup, the chicken, the vegetables. This is all freeze-dried shit that you could pull out of your pantry.
Perfect, perfect.
In a relatively deep pot with 2 to 3 cups of water, place on the stove, heat it to simmering. While the soup is heating, add water to the Bisquick and knead it in the Ziploc bag. Then you cut the tip off the Ziploc bag and just pipe little dumplings into your soup.
And so that it cooks while it's inside the plastic bag?
No. You're just kneading it. You're mixing it with the water inside the plastic bag.
So you take it out of the plastic bag?
Then. No, you cut a little hole in the bottom of the plastic bag and you pipe it. Mm. Like a frosting out of a piping bag.
Okay, I got it.
You pipe it into the hot soup and then the dumplings cook while the soup's cooking.
That sounds amazing.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I think it sounds amazing because we grew up eating this shit.
Listener, email me if you think this sounds delicious, because I think it sounds delicious.
I guarantee you nobody thinks that's delicious.
If you think this sounds nasty as fuck, please email me at fhebadmormon@gmail.com.
Okay, now your task is to pair that with a beverage. This is a major victory for Satan recipe.
Let me see. So, chicken and dumplings. Savory. salty, delicious.
Freeze-dried.
Freeze-dried. I'm going to go red wine. Like a Meritage, maybe.
Okay. I mean, red wine goes with everything in our house.
It was an easy choice for me. My initial reaction is my regular one, which is Bailey's. And then decided that it wasn't going to work. And because, you know, Bailey's is just fucking delicious. Thanksgiving in a cup, man.
I feel like if I'm thinking about things that are, like, evoking childhood memories to go along with a childhood memory of eating food like that and having it be comforting, I would go with, like, peach schnapps.
Gross!
I know! It's all horrible! Gross. There's nothing good about any of it, but it's comforting somehow.
They're not... those will not taste good together. I'm vetoing it.
That's fair. They won't taste good together, but my logic is not for flavor. My logic is for nostalgia.
That chicken and dumplings recipe did not sound terrible.
I know! I agree with you. And that's why we're so fucked up.
Like, hot apple cider vinegar, or not vinegar, but just hot apple cider with whiskey in it, maybe?
Oh, that sounds good.
Right?
Yeah, it is like something you'd eat around a fire.
Right?
While the oxen were shitting around you. The smell of manure wafting into your...
Love it. And that's the only way to make it right.
Yeah. Good times. Anyway. Major victory for Satan Corner. Brought to you by Angel's Anus Whiskey.
Rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. What have ye for cool shit?
You know, you were telling me about some cool shit.
Does it rhyme with Beav Stannin getting indicted?
Yes. And since I was at work all day today, I didn't really get to read a whole lot about it. So go on.
Well, all it really is so far, so we're recording this on Friday. So Steve Bannon was... issued subpoenas for his part, for information relating to his part in the January 6th insurrection, which they're still calling a peaceful tourist group.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm not fucking kidding you.
Jesus Christ.
So they served him subpoenas, which he just ignored. So basically what's happening is that, you know, he was indicted today, which means he's in contempt. Criminal contempt of Congress, because he was basically, they were like, hey, we need you to provide this information, or come in and talk to us. You've been subpoenaed, which is, it means you're required to come in. And he's just like, fuck you, I don't have to do anything you say. Like, I'm friends with President Trump.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's not going to make me. So he just ignored it. And so this is January that this happened. You know, it's right. Fucking almost January again.
Right.
So all year long, everyone's been like, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck? And finally, it seems like the ball's rolling. And it was actually really surprising to me that they actually indicted him. So he's supposed to, so technically now he has a warrant out for his arrest, and he's supposed to self-surrender on Monday and, you know, start talking.
No, he should go get arrested right now.
Wouldn't that be great?
Right. That's what happens when you don't fucking follow the laws and rules.
Yeah. But the interesting part about this is that they're kind of, the House committee is going after the people who sort of planned and created and, like, thought up the plan, I guess, for lack of a better word, the people at the top, which is really cool, rather than just, like, the kind of soldiers that went out and executed it. I mean, a lot of those people are getting, you know, getting in trouble, too.
The ones that, they can pinpoint.
Yeah, that fucking bitch that was like, I'm an Instagrammer, and I'm blonde, and I'm white, and so I'll never go to jail. She said that.
She did?
Yeah, and she just got sentenced to 60 days in prison, so everybody's having
60 days, that's it.
Yeah, so everybody's having a field day on Twitter about that. But yeah, she's like, I'm white, they won't send me to jail.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Try 4 years. 4 years of your life is something, or even 2 years of your life is something worth 60 days. Thanks for the vacation.
Right.
Frankly, I mean, fuck off.
Well, I hope it's...
You know what? I want I want 3 months where I get to... Well, you don't get to sleep in, but... get to sleep in, get free meals.
I can tell you from experience, those beds are not comfortable. Okay, it's like sleeping on a concrete slab.
Mandy once had to go to jail.
I did, and it was not comfortable. I had to pee in front of another girl. Anyways, I thought it would be fun to do a little Wikipedia research for you, just to list off, you know, Steve Bannon's greatest hits. Because everybody knows Steve Bannon's a racist piece of shit.
Right.
So I opened up his Wikipedia page, which, I'm going to be honest, appears to me to have been written by the man himself because it looks very glorious as I'm reading it. Stephen Kevin Bannon, born blah, blah, blah. He's an American media executive, political strategist, former investment banker
who served... Oh, he 100% wrote this about himself.
Who served as the White House's chief strategist in the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump during the first 7 months of Trump's term. He's a former executive chairman of Breitbart News, which is... everybody knows is like the alt-rightist Proud Boy publication that there ever was. And previously served on the board of the now defunct data analytics firm Cambridge Analytica, which I don't know if you remember back, there was a big scandal back a few years ago when Facebook was stealing everyone's data because of Cambridge Analytica. So he was on the board for that. And then it goes on to say, it goes on to say that he served some time in the military in the early 80s, late 70s. He worked at Goldman Sachs as an investment banker. In 1993, he became acting director of the research project Biosphere 2, so that should be something interesting to look at. And then the part that got me going, what? Was he became an executive producer in Hollywood and produced 18 films between 1991 and 2016. And I was like, okay. At that point, I stopped reading, and I was like, a fucking executive producer in Hollywood? I was like, this has to be written by Steve Bannon.
Also not hard to be an executive producer when you have money.
Right. Well, so I clicked on, I Googled it actually, and I was like, Steve Bannon movies. And the list, I'm just going to show you the pictures so you can kind of see what we're dealing with. But it's basically all these documentary style movies. The Brink, Occupy, Democrats, Unmasked, America, Diarrhea. It doesn't really say diarrhea, it says Dharma. Torchbearer, The Indian Runner, District of Corruption. So it's basically all of these like alt-right publications that he paid for and then is just billing himself as like a Hollywood executive
except
producer.
Except for that Hollywood that was never released in a theater or acknowledged by Hollywood.
Exactly. Yeah. Or acknowledged by anyone that wasn't a fucking Proud Boy racist piece of shit.
100%.
Anyway, so I thought it might be fun to put this task out to you, Internet. I don't know if you know this, but Wikipedia pages can be changed and altered by anybody that wants to do it.
That is correct.
So I'm sure somebody as high profile an executive as Steve Bannon is probably keeping track of his page and checking it out, but I just thought it might be fun for us to go on every once in a while and just
change
it. We want to be factual. You know, we can use the words like racist, Proud Boy, piece of shit because those are facts.
Right. It's not defamation when it's a fact.
You know, we can change the word film to propaganda, you know, whatever. Alt-right propaganda. Yes. So anyway, I'm just putting that out.
So what does one have to do to do that? You just go in, say, I'd like to edit, and then whatever you edit is the last thing that it shows?
Yep.
That's fucking rad.
Yeah, it is rad.
I have some homework to do.
Which is one reason why Wikipedia is not the best source of information always, but... I think, I don't know if it's just as easy as you clicking on it and then it changing. Like, I think it has to be reviewed and then, I don't know. I remember there was, like, a big joke back and forth between a couple of actors.
Oh, I, like,
Justin Long. Santorum. And,
but there was also, they changed the definition of Santorum or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was Dan Savage.
Yeah.
That's another example.
That was rad.
No, the one I'm thinking of is, like, there was a couple of, Dax Shepard, it sounds like that circle of, you know, goofball actor people, but they kept fucking with each other's. Oh, no, it was, I think I heard it on Smartless, actually. They kept fucking with, what's the guy who never wears any sleeves? Used to date Jennifer Aniston. Thoreau, Justin Thoreau.
Oh.
They kept fucking with his Wikipedia page. You guys should listen to Smartless if you haven't. It's fucking where I get all my news.
Right. It's where I get all my inspiration for podcasting.
Anyway, yeah. So, cool shit. Steve Bannon's been indicted.
Yes, perfect. Well, good. I hope they all fucking go down along with him.
Yeah. There's some other people that were indicted, too. Mark Meadows, former White House Chief of Staff. Daniel Scavino, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications. Kylie Kremer, founder and Executive Director of Women for America First. That sounds like a organization that I do not want to be a part of. a bunch of names I don't recognize. Stop the Steal LLC, organization affiliated with Stop the Steal Rally. They made an LLC.
Jesus Christ.
Why am I not surprised?
Right?
Jason Miller, former senior advisor to Trump. Michael Flynn, former Trump National Security Advisor. Kayleigh McEnany, former White House Press Secretary. Stephen Miller, Trump's senior advisor. Anyway, there's a lot of fucking people that have been subpoenaed. So this looks like fun.
Cool shit. Love it. Cool. Love it.
Shit. Unfortunately, there's a lot of not cool shit also happening in the world right now, which would be perfect under our new segment called This Motherfucker.
This Motherfucker.
Where should we start?
Oh, God, there's just so much. Go on.
So, do you remember Ahmaud Arbery?
No.
He was a man who was out jogging and was basically lynched in broad daylight.
Oh, that's fucked up. I remember that story.
By three guys. And there's video. Three white guys. There's video of them wrestling and a video of the white guy shooting him.
Jesus Christ.
Right? Yeah, totally fucked up. So that trial is finally happening now. And there's a couple of really fucked up things that are going on with that trial. So the trial's being held in Glynn County, Georgia. And he was fatally shot jogging near Brunswick, which is a town in Glynn County, Georgia. This was in February 23rd of 2020. And there's actually some speculation that's coming out during the trial that says he was, not only was he just out jogging, but he had been chased by these guys for quite some time, with them waving guns at him and shit.
Jesus.
That's not been proven, and it's speculation at this point, but it appears as though he was tired. He was really tired because he was running from these guys out in the sticks, right? So three white guys chasing this black guy. They have guns. They're good old boys. They're big fat dudes driving their truck, probably with their fucking Trump flags flying. I am making that up, but I'm just characterizing.
You're painting a picture, and I'm seeing it.
Yeah, right. So not only there's a bunch of fucked up things that are happening regarding this trial now. So it's 80% of the people in the Glynn County are white. There's one black juror. The rest of them are white jurors. The defense for the three murderers, right, or alleged murderers, let's call them, he said some really fucked up shit the other day. The family of Ahmaud is sitting in the courtroom, and they're sitting with Reverend Al Sharpton, and because Al Sharpton's a high-profile person for, you know, black America.
ACLU and things mm-hmm. like that, yeah.
The defense lawyer said... What did he say? I want to make sure I get it right. So, the attorney for the defendants told the judge that he doesn't want, quote, any more black pastors in the courtroom after the Reverend Al Sharpton sat with the slain man's family.
Wow.
This was on Wednesday, so a couple of days ago. And then, of course, he came out the next day and said, oh, it was out of context. I didn't mean it like that. And there was another quote that he had said something about Jesse Jackson, too. Something about, oh, Jesse Jackson's going to show up next, or we don't need Jesse Jackson in here, which actually prompted Jesse Jackson to
then fly out.
Yeah, perfect. So he's showing up in the probably upcoming
Monday
days.
Or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it's super fucked up. And it's just one of those things where it's looking like, you know, there's not going to be any justice for this man who is, I'm not even kidding you, basically, essentially lynched in broad daylight.
On camera.
Right. Which, if you really think about it, like, how is that any different from Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, you know, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice.
Right.
And then you've got Kyle Rittenhouse, who's a white kid.
That fucking piece of shit.
Uh-huh. Who went into a protest about civil rights with a weapon,
right,
and a bulletproof vest, and started shooting people. And I don't know, listeners, if you've seen anything about what's going on in that trial, that is some fucked up bullshit, because he's obviously going to get off for this, even just by watching the demeanor of the judge, right, and his attorney interact with each
other. Like, a judge is not supposed to weigh in with his opinion. He's just supposed to mediate.
Right.
And the juror is supposed to make it up. But the judge has very painfully expressed his opinion on this, because he doesn't just rule objection or state mm-hmm. or whatever. He elaborates on shit that he has no right elaborating on. I just watched that video of him trying to talk about enlarging a
text
screen
message.
Grab. Yeah, and it's just like, are you dumb?
And it went on for a long time.
Right, it was like 2 minutes, and it was just like, so you're going to be the authority on something that you just clearly said you don't know anything about, but you're going to have an opinion on it.
Well, could you imagine being the family of those people murdered?
No.
And listening to that judge go on like that? Like, you're sitting in that courtroom and hearing that shit? what the fuck?
Right? It's really upsetting. And I saw somebody's Twitter, and I wish I could find it, or I'd written down what they wrote. But he's like, oh, as a military person, you know, I went into active combat zones, you know, in like Vietnam or whatever it was. And he's like, oh, you go in there and you don't go in to keep the peace. You're going in for active military kind of a thing. And that's what he had done. He's like, oh, he went into a peaceful protest looking for trouble, and he made the trouble, he found the trouble, and people died because of it.
Absolutely. Actually, I think I retweeted that one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Turns out I follow us.
It's FHG Kenneth, Bad Mormon. Kenneth Ray McCain is the guy's name on Twitter. He says, combat veteran here, just a perspective. If you arrive armed to a place where violence is happening, prepared for violence, and you engage in violence, there's no self-defense. You are, in fact, a willing combatant. If you do this without being sanctioned by a government outside of a combat zone, you are also, in fact, a terrorist. We had another word for armed civilians operating outside the military as well, insurgents. If your recourse to the terrorist is to look up the criminal history of the victims, it's no different than looking up the criminal past of everyone that died on 9/11 in order to justify the hijackers. This kid was illegal all the way around. This shit is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's his
absolutely.
Quote. Oh, and another thing, the judge, his phone started ringing during the trial, or maybe it was the pre-trial, but it was on camera because there's video all over Twitter. Right. And his ringtone is the Trump campaign rally song.
Ugh. I didn't even know he had a song, but now I never want to hear it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It might just be one that they played during the rally, but it's like the song is known for right. to be like a, I don't know, whatever between Trump supporters, like a
right.
fuck you Brandon or whatever, right. whatever the stupid third grade bullshit is that they're trying to.
God, when the judge is supposed to be the higher person, right? Like it's more, they have more power than the lawyers and whatever. They're supposed to be, you know, justice is blind, and this isn't fucking blind. This is opinionated. And somebody else had written, is like, oh, is he just trying to audition for when the Orange Man comes back into power? And the other one was like, does he think he's going to get his own Judge Judy show, like, out of this? Like, what the fuck?
Well, and the infuriating part is, between these two cases, obviously they're different cases, but they're kind of similar in the fact that it's a fucking sham. Both trials have been kind of a sham so far. And the fact that it's broadcast for everyone to see, and everyone can see it's a sham, and there's nothing anybody can fucking do about it other than let it go through and then appeal. Right. You know, I mean, or I don't even know. Can
it's
the
double jeopardy? You can't try them again.
Yeah, you can't try them again. You're right. I was thinking, yeah, you can only appeal
if you're convicted, then you would come back and appeal it.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, it's like if you have a mistrial, then the prosecution has to do it again. But if the prosecution decides not to, then it's done. But if they come back not guilty, you're fucked at this point.
Right. Yeah, anyway, this motherfucker. So fucking infuriating.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. I feel like I had some other shit, too. Oh, there's a lot of bad stuff happening.
I feel like the world is more and more garbage, and I don't know whether I just didn't realize it before, or now I'm just paying attention, or because of things like Twitter and like things like that whole judge, we talked about this on a previous episode, the judge that was getting kickbacks from sending juveniles to jail in what was the county?
It was in Tennessee, and I can't remember the name of the county.
I'm just so annoyed, but like something else happened in that county too. Anyways, yeah, scrap it.
Well, there's a certain amount of, I mean, it's become painfully obvious, especially in the last few years, that whatever social media platform you're on, it's an echo chamber for your own viewpoints, right? You follow the things that you like, and you comment on the things, which changes the algorithm to
show you the things, yeah. You know,
and it's the same for everybody. However, you do have a certain amount of control over what you decide you want your echo chamber to be, and you have to have enough common sense and wherewithal to figure out what is the crazy shit and what is the medium shit and what is the, you know, normal shit. I don't know. That's a terrible analogy, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
I get what you're saying, though.
You have to be objective to a certain degree, even though you know that you're in an echo chamber.
Right.
So it's like, is black people getting killed, murdered for no reason by white people important to me and something I want in my echo chamber? Fuck yes it is.
Right.
You know, and I, so, I don't know. It was so nice having kind of that week off with the family and just having fun and not being on Twitter and not being on social media, not thinking about that shit. But just because, like, I'm having fun and riding roller coasters doesn't mean black people aren't getting murdered.
Right.
So, you know.
And people out in Georgia are just going to let... I mean, I have to hope that people on the jury would have to be like, no, this isn't right. But all it takes is just one person to be defiant, to have... I don't know if that would be a mistrial or if it would... What's the one where they can't make up their mind? A hung jury.
Hung jury, yeah.
And that would be a mistrial, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I was talking to a client of mine about this today, and it's just how people don't have empathy for other people. And it's just like, if you can't put yourself out of your own shoes, because everybody grew up with their own story. We all have our own story, and we think everybody thinks exactly, or should think exactly the way we do, because it makes total sense to us. But other people didn't live your experiences. And for people who are in a place of privilege, you didn't have to experience what these other people, like, there's no way for you to, unless you actively try to understand where somebody else is coming from. Like, these people are like, oh, they think they've had it bad. I've had it hard, too. Like, just that whole thing. Mm-hmm. It just makes me crazy. But, like, I was actually talking to one of my clients about it. I was like, going back to drugs. But, like, I'm a pretty empathetic person anyways, but without maybe doing a little bit of a hallucinogen, I don't know that I could put myself actually in the shoes of other people. Like, the whole, like, I forgot about this. I was talking to Casey about it when he was in town. I was like, I was actually kind of fairly religious when I was younger. I mean, I didn't go to church or anything, and I thought the Mormons were always crazy. But, like, you know, I prayed and things like that. And when Casey would say, there's no God, Charlotte, I'm like, there is a God, Casey. And I get all upset because I didn't want him to go to hell or whatever. And it wasn't until I did acid and I was kind of like, wait a second. Because I was convinced, I think I've told the story too, but I'll just tell it again. Is that the juice man who had an infomercial, I thought he was the devil. And then I realized, I was like, wait a second. People only came up with religion to, like, enforce laws better. And there's no God. Oh, God, there's no God, you know, or whatever. And again,
I go back with religion to control people.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And again, I'm not saying there's a higher power, not one, but organized religion is straight up bullshit. But, like, to be able to open my mind to that, I think opens your mind to a lot of other things, too. And some people just will not open their minds to shit.
There's a lot of exciting research going on with microdosing with hallucinogens right now.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I should look into that a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun to report back on, because I have a client who's a little newer, and we were talking about different drugs, and she's talking about how she may have had a little bit of an edible and freaked out, and she's like, I was like, am I breathing? Is my heart beating? I'm like, oh God, no, I know exactly what you're talking. Fuck edibles, they're the worst.
Yeah, fuck edibles.
And then I was just like, but when we got shut down, I kind of was like, I think I want to do some drugs. Of course, we laughed about it or whatever, but then I did. And I was like, oh, luckily for me, because it'd been so long since I had done any sort of hallucinogen that I was like, and I get so paranoid from pot that if I had taken it sober, it probably would have been like, oh God, I hope I don't have a bad time. And then you inevitably are going to have a bad time, right? Whatever mood or thought you have going into it is pretty much where you're going to land. So for this, I'd already been drinking and having a good time. So I'm like, great idea. Give me a couple of those caps or whatever. and I had a really, really awesome time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's like, oh no, I've never done them. I like to be in control of everything. She's like, but I like hearing about your stories. And I was like, listen to my podcast.
I'll tell you about putting a mushroom cap up your butt.
Oh.
Hey, should we hear a word from our sponsors? Yeah.
Okay, but on the commercial break, I want to extend into this mushroom cap butt stuff.
Maybe that could be our new sponsor.
Mushroom butt?
We better reach out to the executive genius creative director on this one.
Great idea.
Hey sisters, have you checked out the situation downstairs? No, not in your garments, but in the food storage cellar. You up to snuff? You prepared with a minimum 3 months worth in case of apocalypse or personal tragedy? In the event you need a restock, might I recommend Rossi Ramen. If you thought there was nothing more delicious than a Rossi wine, wait until you try our line of ramen. Treat your taste buds to our salmon chardonnay, pork pineapple sangria, shrimp sauvignon, or meatball merlot. Not only will Rossi Ramen satisfy that hunger pang, two easy cook packages will also deliver a Rossi style buzz and a Rossi style headache in the morning. Cheers!
Rossi Ramen can be found at Smith, Lee's, and other fine retailers. Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners save 20% on your first purchase. Just use the promo code Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam at checkout.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
Hi. Hey, thanks there for staying with us. Jesus and I love you.
You didn't get scared away by butt mushrooms, huh? All right, sweet.
First of all, what's wrong with you that you're still here? You've got some major problems you need to talk to your therapist about. Oh, speaking of actually talking to your therapist.
Are we going to finally get one?
No, I forgot to mention something in cool shit. Succession season 3 is out, and I am binge watching the fuck out of seasons 1 and 2 just so I can get to season 3. It's been fucking great so far. And we watched Dune.
Oh yeah, Dune was great.
The new Dune? Highly recommend. Timothy Chalamet really is pulling it off. It's really doing it for me.
Makes me want to go back and watch the original one. Just to see how they differ.
This one's better.
This one doesn't have Sting in it, Mandy.
Or Kyle MacLachlan.
And it wasn't directed by David Lynch.
Anyway. Do you want to hear a story?
I'd love to hear a story.
I have a story for you. I'm not quite sure how to ease into this one.
Because I know it's a good story if you have to laugh first and think about how do you want to start.
It's pretty blunt. So we were talking about doing hallucinogens. And when I was living in Bellingham, so I moved out of the house when I was 17. I went up to Washington and I got a job at the movie theater where I met Courtney, our executive genius creative director. And we weren't roommates right off the bat. I'd moved up there with a friend from high school. But I met her because we both worked at the movie theater, and we just hit it off right away. We were like, after work, my very first shift, she was like, Chloe, so we want to go drink some beers? And I was like, yeah. And then we've just pretty much been drinking beers consistently ever since then.
Yes.
Which has been great. However, the one story that I wanted to tell you about, we did used to also enjoy taking LSD a lot when we were younger. And you know, we were super fucking poor. Working at the movie theater, when I got hired at the movie theater, I was making $3.75, I think, an
Jesus
hour.
Jesus Christ.
And so we had a house or an apartment, and we had to cram, you know, 4 people in a 2-bedroom to pay the rent and shit like that, or live in a house that was going to be condemned by the fire department and used as a burn house for, like, training people. Shit like that. I'm sure I must have told that story already. But so one night in particular, it was Courtney and I and 2 other people, which I'm going to let them remain nameless because I'm not sure if they would want to be associated.
Does anybody really want to be associated?
Well, we didn't really do anything bad. It's just that we were, you know, just high on acid. But so my point was that we didn't have any money. We were super poor, and we would go to Denny's all the time, and we would constantly eat at Denny's. It was like ramen at home, mac and cheese at home, or we would go to Denny's all the time and drink coffee and get, like, French fries and ranch.
Moons over my hammy.
If we had been a payday, we would get, like, a real meal. Right.
Oh, okay.
But so we would go there a lot, and we'd get high and go there, you know, and just hang out. I mean, they really probably fucking hated us. There was this one by our house that we just would go there and drink coffee and be on acid and just taking up space.
That's awful.
Yeah.
You're horrible.
And get French fries. And, well, we needed a place to go, and we were hungry.
You could just get high in your own apartment.
We were hungry, and we didn't have any food. And we needed cheap food, and we just wanted to go out. I don't know. I don't know why we did, but we went to Denny's a lot. Actually, in fact, side note, side story. There was a time when I had collected all the money to pay the bill. It was like a big table of 6 people. This will tell you how little we spent, because I just completely spaced paying the bill, and we just left and got in the car and went home. And I woke up in the morning and I had an extra $20 in my wallet, and I was like, $20?
I'm rich!
This could buy food for a week. And then I was like, oh, fuck, this was supposed to pay for the 6 people's dinner last night at Denny's. And I was like, oh, god damn it. So I went back down there right away, and I was like, I totally forgot to pay the bill last night. Like, I would like to take care of it. And they brought the manager out, and he was just like, oh, I've already called the police. And that was the end of the conversation. And I was like, it was just a mistake. Like, I wouldn't have come back if I was trying to steal. I just completely forgot, you know. Something that normally you would, like, looking back on it now as an adult and, like, having been a manager of a business, it's like, you would just take the money and be like, oh, yeah, you know.
Thanks.
Unless it's a, you know, scrubby little kid who you want to get out of your
right. I was going to say, it's more of these fucking bitches. Mm-hmm. Get out of my restaurant. Don't ever come back. Yeah. You've been 86.
Yeah. But eventually he took the money and accepted my apology. And I was like, fuck. We didn't go back there for a little while. But that's a side Denny story. Anyway, so back to this other story. So the four of us had gone out to Denny's. I want to say it was 2 or 3 in the morning, and we were high, and we had ordered a bunch of food. We got milkshakes, and then we had a bunch of food coming, and I had a nose ring in, or one of us had a nose ring in, and we were seated next to this group of really large lager-looking people, and they do this thing in Deming, which is like a little kind of sticks town outside of Bellingham, called the Deming Logging Show. I kind of think it was like around the time when they were doing that show, but I'm not 100% certain. But it was like, imagine like Paul Bunyan looking motherfuckers. Thick flannel, Carhartt pants, you know, they were out there chopping wood, living in the fucking sticks, being loggers. Very conservative people. Right. And we're colored hair and nose rings and tattoos. Shitty tattoos at the time. Our tattoos have progressed. But we were, you know, little like grunge combat boot baby doll dress wearing kids, right? And so we're seated next to them, and one of the girls who's with us is kind of like a shit starter a little bit, and they're kind of making comments under their breath, and she's kind of making comments, and then like she's kind of like getting louder about it, like trying to kind of fight with them. And so I think that's where this kind of like tension thing, it started coming from them, but she was really giving it back to them. And I remember them saying something about somebody, I think it was my nose ring, something about a nose ring. And, you know, at one point, one of the guys said he was going to lop all of our heads off with a chainsaw. And we were like, oh, that escalated.
Right.
And, you know, all of us, I remember, were just like, oh, shit, you know, kind of got a little quiet. And then they were just like ready to fucking fight. And then the waitress is kind of like hovering around. She heard it. She didn't do anything.
Right.
You know, she kind of went back away, and we're looking at them and they're looking at us. And just imagine like this super tense moment where you're like, are we about to get in a fight with some fucking loggers? High on acid at Denny's at 2 a.m. And the guy's just looking at us. I want to say he's looking right at me, because I felt like like in the moment it was just like me and him, but I'm sure that wasn't it. And then out of nowhere, he just fucking barfs all over the table, all over his plate, all over his friend, all over that table. I know. And we were at that moment, we were just like, imagine the energy changing. It wasn't funny. It was like, what fucking planet are we on?
No, like, it'd what be is like, happening? How high am I right now? And it's my face melting off.
Yeah. So it turns out these guys were just fucking drunk at 2 a.m, you know, picking fights or whatever, beating up drunks. I don't know, whatever. How the Dead Kennedys song goes. But so at that moment, right after he starts puking and the friend's like trying to like clean it up or move him out or whatever, you can start smelling it. Then our food gets delivered, right? And Courtney was like, no, absolutely not. Sends it back. She's like, we can't, you know, we're smelling puke. These guys just threatened to cut our heads off with a chainsaw. Like, no. And then the manager came out, and they got that table all cleaned up and those guys out of there. And he was trying to say, well, you guys ordered all this food. You have to pay for it. And Courtney was not fucking having it.
No, Courtney's really good at that.
Yeah, she was just like, well, you know, why don't we call the police and tell them about how you guys didn't do anything when they threatened to chop our heads off with chainsaws and they puked all over everything. And, you know, we could do that if you want, but no, I'm not paying for that. If you want to try to make me pay for it, please call the cops and we'll tell them our side of the story. And so they were like, we'll pay for our milkshakes that we drank, you know, but that's it.
Right.
So they were like, fine, you know, get out of here. But we walked out into the night and just like, that was the most surreal fucking weird ass
fucking weird
trip at Denny's, Bellingham, Washington, that I've the weirdest experience at Denny's I've ever had in my life. Right. Let's just put it that way.
And also, dear listener, Bellingham, Washington is known for serial killers. Like, they just like to hang out there. Don't know why, but they all... Ted Bundy went through there. The Green River Killer's gone through there. Back in the DC Snipers. We did a whole episode on it. Mm-hmm. Smiley Face Killer. Like, all of them.
Close to the border.
Because it's so close to the fucking border. So, I knew that moving to Bellingham. Like, I don't fuck around with fucking Bellingham. Like, did I get shit-faced drunk at 6 a.m. at the waterfront? Yes. Was that my smartest moment? No. But did I go get drunk in some bushes across the street at the park? Maybe.
Did I stumble home blacked out on more than 100 occasions? Definitely.
Absolutely. Oh, good God, I hate Bellingham. I love Bellingham so hard.
I love Bellingham, but it sure is damp there.
I can never live there. I'm glad that I didn't get murdered while I was there.
But I'll tell you what, there's no better place to be during the summer.
For sure.
With the hiking and the swimming and the waterfalls and the...
fun.
Yeah. And if you like snow, Mount Baker's right there. Kayaking.
I do not.
It's actually like an outdoor person's paradise. It's just you have to be willing to accept that it's cold as fuck.
Right. And constantly damp.
Yes.
I was going to say moist, but I'm like, no, that's quite accurate.
It's also moist.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I wonder how many...
Oh, I do have a good story.
Do you?
Well, no, it's not even that good of a story. It's just the one time I stood up for myself.
Tell it.
So I wasn't drunk or on drugs, but I was just becoming friends with Pat and Dan. So I was like 12, 13-ish maybe, and... Pat was going through a serious gothic phase, and the people at the movie theater fucking hated him. Not me, not anybody else. They hated Pat so badly. And maybe it's because he was, you know, had nail polish and wore his black trench coat, whatever it is. But we bought our movie tickets. I think we were going to go see Star Wars or something, like they had re-released them. And I probably only hung out with these guys like 2 or 3 times. These people ended up becoming my best friends later. But the manager comes out and he's like, you, get out of here. You're not allowed to be here to Pat. And I'm like, oh, excuse me. Like, what? Why are you kicking him out? He's like, because he just flipped me off. I'm like, no, he didn't. Like, I've been talking to him this whole time. He's like, I saw him and he flipped me off. He's out of here. And I was like, no, this is ridiculous. And I was like, well, then you're giving him a refund. Like, no, I'm not. I'm kicking him out. I was like, well, then I want a refund. He's like, why? And I'm like, you're kicking my friend out. I'm not going to go to the movie. So I would like a refund. And so would all of my friends. And he's like, okay, fine. I'll let him stay. It was the dumbest fucking thing ever.
Was he 16?
No. Maybe. No, he was probably like 20. But it was just like, they were always trying to kick us out for some stupid reason. Because again, kids, we didn't have anywhere else to hang out. The movie theater was the only place to hang out.
Theater hopping, after show.
We actually didn't do that too much just because this theater wasn't set up to where you could get away with it. Like, the Aliso Viejo Theater is much, much easier to do that at. This one was up at Ocean Ranch and not quite so easy. But yeah, I just remember thinking, why do they hate you so much? You're like, because of the way I dress. I don't know. We're just like, really? But yeah, I'm kind of proud of myself because as a 12, 13-year-old who doesn't normally stand up for yourself, I was like, well, this just doesn't seem right. Like, this oppression will not stand. And if it is, I would like my money back because
this
now...
This aggression will not stand, man. That's a pretty good story. Did you just eat a bug?
Is that fire? Did I just drink fire?
You drank Angel's anus.
That's part of the anus.
The whiskey of angels.
No, it was like powdery. Is that right?
I drugged your drink.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Get ready for... Let's go to Denny's.
We're going to put some mushroom caps up my butt?
Maybe. Listener, if you have any stories you want to share, please send them our way to fhebadmormons@gmail.com. We've been getting quite a few stories in from you guys. We've started reading the really good ones. Sorry if we didn't get to all of them. But if you're interested in hearing your story read on our podcast, we promise to do a good job. And we will send you some stickers and some pins if you would like, and if you include your address.
And let us know whether you want us to say your name or not say your name.
Exactly. Pronouns. Give us your pronouns. We're down for all of it.
Right.
But you guys are sending us some funny shit, so. We're super into it.
Because, I mean, I like just reading them in my downtime, and some of them I'm like, are we allowed to retell this story?
If we get enough of a bank, I think we could actually, like...
make a segment.
Yeah, add its own segment, so...
Perfect.
And, of course, we are always looking for reviews on Apple Podcasts.
That'd be awesome.
It's the holy grail for podcasters.
It's how people find us. The more reviews, the more people will fall into our slippery anus.
I knew you were going to say that. Speaking of anus, you can get your official Bad Mormons merch at TeePublic. We have our own affiliate link, which is in our link tree, which is in all the social medias.
If you want to see a visual, go over to YouTube. Listen to it there. Except for YouTube might take the graphic off if it's a booty.
YouTube did not like the booty bump graphic, so they took it off the thumbnail, but they left it on the video. So if you want to see bare ass cheeks, go and head on over to YouTube, like, subscribe, and share with your friends. Apparently, we're under attack. Is that a helicopter or drag racing? We need a studio. We're going to need you guys to sign up to become a patron
so that we can
buy a studio and not have to record this in our backyard anymore.
We could just start setting it up next to the water heater in the closet.
For only $3 a month, you can become a patron and help us get towards our lifelong goal of moving our microphones into the water heater closet so that we don't have to hear this bullshit going on in the air while we're trying to record. And... with that, we're gonna duck and cover, Anna.
Duck and cover, bro.
Thanks for listening to our show. Maybe we'll see you next week.
God, I hope we don't die.
I'm scared.
You better release this quickly before the Wi-Fi goes out.
Love you.